Blog Talk Radio. Comcast calling me early. You guys are, what is with you, Comcast?
I don't know. Why would they be calling early?
I don't know. They're not supposed to come until after reading the podcast, is what I requested. It's been a day since I woke up, so, you know, I have some stuff up for sale on eBay that I actually posted to Pinterest and everything. But wait, they yanked the account. They yanked the stuff down. Oh, we don't know if you're really you. Really?
I love that.
With the stuff that I was selling, really?
Wow. That's something else.
I could see if I was selling some diamonds. Yeah, if I was selling diamonds, yes, you have every right to be saying, this may not be who you think it is. Anyway, good morning to all you lovely people. I know you all were angry. I tried to tweet you, but...
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I was on my phone, and for some odd reason, it didn't ding me to let me know that you'd, like, texted me, so.
Yeah, sitting in the lovely Houston traffic. Oh, fun, fun, fun. So, in case y'all didn't realize, we're just stalling while we get our news together, because,
yay!
Yeah. Y'all think that sometimes we sound so together, don't we, dude?
Sometimes. All right, well, I can start. Woo! All right. We've been talking about you cheaters, cheater, cheater, pumpkin eaters.
Wait a minute, I was about to add some other stuff. They don't go with that. Never mind.
Well, anyways, some of you are getting your just desserts. Riot bans Pro League of Legends players from championship for 1 year. Riot saying, we are not putting up with this crap. While some may want to live in the past and engage in behavior that is less than savory while playing online games competitively, professional gamers are increasingly finding out that aggressive, abrasive, misogynist, racist, and homophobic language is no longer acceptable. Like, that was ever acceptable. Anyways, proving that point, Riot Games announced on their official League of Legends forums that professional League of Legends player Christian I Will Dominate Rivera has been suspended for one whole year. That's 365 days. From playing in the League of Legends Championship Series. The announcement follows a previous announcement that Rivera had permanently banned from the game for what was categorized as toxic behavior.
Don't you know you're toxic?
Rivera has also had all known accounts associated with him banned as well. The announcement says, we take sportsmanship and player behavior very seriously. Yes. We definitely believe that pro players should not be exempt from scrutiny over their behavior. In the past, Rivera represented international esports team, Team Digenesis, at the Season 2 North American Regional Finals, placing second alongside his teammates. Team Digenesis owner Michael Odell has confirmed that he will that. That he will be replaced by someone else. So see if
That'll make the ginger snap her hand. Slap her.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Seriously. I mean, grow up. How old are you? You are at least in your 20s, and you're still pulling this stupid shit? What is wrong with you?
Hey, S-bomb. Daytime. Daytime.
S-bomb is okay.
It was the S-bomb, Ginger.
My bad.
It's daytime, Ginger.
I smacked you more, Mr.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to start changing the rating on our morning show. Oh, wow. All right.
If you've had enough that he actually got banned for a whole year,
true.
He has done something pretty awful. So, you know what? Take your licks. You deserve it. Man, and you're going to be gone for a year. Everybody's going to forget about you, and you got to work your way back up.
Mm-hmm. Make it do what it do, baby. Okay. Wow. See, there's always juicy news. Sometimes we just don't know which to tell you, which to start with. Okay. Let me do a quickie and then a longie.
She's a quickie.
All right. That was dirty. Dirty, dirty. Well, actually, both of these are kind of short, so. For those of you who are Pokemon fans or know little people who are Pokemon, I just got your text message saying, okay.
See,
yeah.
I'm so not even paying attention at that point.
It's okay. Okay, so anyway, Pokemon fans, Pokemon is going to be expanding by adding Wi-Fi tournaments to its 2013 Video Game Championship Series season. The Pokemon Company International sent us over a lovely little press release that it'll be adding Global Battle Union, called GBU, Wi-Fi tournaments to its 2013 Video Game Championship Series season, making it easier than ever for you gamers to step down the road to the Pokemon World Championships. Beginning with the 2012 VGCS Winter Battle, will be taking place on the 13th of December through the 17th. Top finishers of the Wi-Fi tournament will earn buys, I don't know what that is, at live tournaments, of which more details will be announced soon, we hope. Hello, get it over to us. Top participants will also receive championship points, bringing them one step closer to potentially earning invitations to the 2013 Pokemon World Championship in Vancouver, British Columbia. Yay! The 2013 VGCS Winter Battle is the first time results from a GBU Wi-Fi competition will count in the European Pokemon Video Game Championship Series seasons. Players can register for the event starting today at midnight Greenwich Mean Time. So if you are in the U.S., guess what? It's already way past midnight Greenwich Mean Time. Get on over there and register. And also Thursday, December 13th at 11:59 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time at pokemon.co.uk/PGL. Sorry about that. I got really loud then, didn't I? With gameplay beginning December 13th at midnight GMT. Adding to the fun, players who maintain a low disconnect rate in the 2012 VGCS Winter Battle rankings will be awarded a Custap Berry. I'm assuming you know what that is. The Custap Berry gives the Pokemon holding it a better chance to strike first the turn after your HP gets low. So get yourself over there and get signed up. Fantastical. That wasn't really all that short, was it? It looked like it was. Anyway, also, the fight is on between Google and Facebook, as if it wasn't before, but it really, really is. Google Plus rolled out a brand new feature today for a Google Plus social network, which brings it the ability to form groups based around specific interests in organizations or passions. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. The new Google Plus Communities feature is very familiar to the staple Facebook Groups feature, which lets you communicate with a group of people in a more specific way than you would by sharing the information broadly with the entire social network. It's also a feature that's been lacking on Google Plus since its initial launch. What's been missing are more permanent homes for all the stuff you love, the wonderful, the weird, and yes, even the things that are way out there. That's from Google SVP Vic Gundotra. In his recent blog post, he says with Google Plus Communities, there's now a gathering place for your passions. So what's the difference between the Facebook one and the Google one? Well, according to VentureBeat, there's a few notable things, including the ability to start a Google Hangout video chat with the community, which you cannot do on Facebook. Do they even have video on Facebook? And Ginger, if you're commenting, you are so muted because I keep seeing your little
Yes, you
seeing your little face pop up like you're talking, but there's nothing coming out. Sharing these things specifically with Google Plus communities as well from any plus one button, and it's something that might attract people or bring them over from Facebook, this feature. Very, very nice. Mm. Good luck with that, Google. We may be creating a couple of we could create a couple of groups. Google Plus is much less complicated than Facebook. You know
it
that?
It is. It's just a little empty. No, all my friends are over there. Move, people. That'll go to MySpace. MySpace, because it's so pretty.
MySpace is sexy. Just want to do stuff to MySpace. Oh. If I can stay MySpace. Oh, man.
Very, very, very
hot. Let me say hello to our new friends over at Good Folks Game, which we were telling you about yesterday. We love you guys. Your game is effing awesome. And you'll get a personal review from that soon enough, as soon as I get to sit down for more than 5 or 10 minutes to actually play. But, wow. Rare.
Very nice.
And by the way, Ginger, there's fishing.
Oh, no. I have headphones on, but if I could.
Wait.
No.
Ginger, that's not even the most delicious. You can cook the fish.
Oh, she had to go one step further. Not right.
Cook what you fish. Girl, these people. I told them this morning, because they're obviously, they're in the UK time, so on GMT time, and I told them, you guys. Y'all don't know it yet, but you got a hit on your hands. Once we get these sim people, oh, man. That's all kind of hot right there.
That's some sexy stuff right there.
All kinds of hot, sexy gaming. Hands above the desk, Corey. Ooh.
All right, so Time Warner is digging into your pockets even more today, people.
Wow, imagine that.
I have to ask you why. All right, so Time Warner is rolling out metered broadband plan option to all U.S. customers.
No.
Time Warner Cable announced that it will bring its metered broadband offer nationwide, leaving many customers with an inkling of common sense to ask, oh, WTF, yo. The Time Warner broadband plan called Internet Essentials gives a meager $5 discount to subscribers willing to stay below a 5 GB data cap each month. Why the hell are you downloading this less than 5 GB?
Well, if you're, you know, though you're not us. Let's put it that way. If you're not us, then yeah, that makes.
Then you don't need internet. Get off.
All right. Oh my god. What are we gonna do with you, Ginger?
I don't know. All right. So the catch is that if you go over that data cap, you'll have to pay Time Warner $1. Per gigabyte, up to a maximum of $25 in a month. This is a great plan for anyone who checks their email and occasionally surfs the web, but for the rest of us who use media services such as Netflix, watch videos on YouTube, or play video games online, this is probably the worst possible deal out there. Time Warner does say they will not be doing away with its unlimited internet access plans currently available to all of its customers. It just wants to provide essentials to as a low-cost option.
Well, that makes sense. I guess, if you have an older person in your family who really just checks email, and there's a lot of them that do that now. That's all they do. They really don't do much on the internet. They send email. They get the pictures of the grandkids or nieces and nephews, and that's it for them. So it makes sense for them. But if you are somebody like us, you're a gamer, you use that up, download a game in, like, minutes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we could do that just with our Photoshop stuff.
I think I got, some of my Photoshop files are that size, not quite 5 GB, but they are, I lie. They are, I lie, they are. By the way, remind me to tell you about that vendor business, how that worked out. It didn't. It did not, I'll tell you why. It wasn't because, we'll talk later. Okay. Huh?
Wasn't because of the Zuby skirts?
It was, but let me tell you about this, Juicy.
Okay.
Zynga has applied for a gambling license in Nevada.
Uh-oh.
You know they have that Zynga slot saying, yeah, and there's a picture of Mark Pincus playing cards with a dog. That picture's actually kind of cute, Mark. I got to give it to you. Zynga has filed a preliminary finding of suitability to hold a gaming license with the Nevada Gaming Control Board. The WSJ, a.k.a. the Wall Street Journal, reports that this is just the beginning for Zynga in its efforts to offer real money online gambling. Mm-hmm. The state of Nevada will review Zynga's financial status, and the decision could be between 12 to 18 months before we hear anything. They're saying we anticipate that the process will take approximately 12 to 18 months to complete. As we've said previously, the broader U.S. market is an opportunity that's further out on the horizon based on legislative developments, but we are preparing a regulated market, preparing for a regulated market. We've also recently partnered with bwin.party to bring the highest quality real money gaming experiences to our UK players in the first half of 2013. Zynga Chief Revenue Officer Bear Cottle said that in a statement from yesterday, I believe. He says Zynga's already partnered with bwin.party to launch a full suite of real money gambling games in the UK. Again, wanted to make sure you heard that right. This year, Nevada began offering licenses to companies to allow online gambling for players in state. And know that they're not just doing it in state, by the way, because you know how many emails we get on a weekly basis of these companies offering to buy advertisements for us, and I have to tell them no, because we are in a state where you cannot gamble. And unfortunately, these laws are not clear yet on whether or not they could, you know, advertise in the state, but I don't want to be the one that the case is made out of. When they come after you. So, no, we are always like, no, thanks, no, no, no. Yeah. MGM Resorts International holds one license and is also teaming with bwin.party, while Caesars Entertainment Corporation received preliminary approval for its online poker license just this Wednesday. Bless you.
Sorry, excuse me.
Adorable. Oh, did I hear you sneeze? It was so cute.
I was looking for my mute button. Okay, find it.
Come here, Ginger. Oh. Okay, anyway, gaming attorney Mark Clayton told TechCrunch that offering online poker in Nevada generally requires an operator to be or be in partnership with the casino. It's possible that Zynga still needs to clear that hurdle in order to bring its plans to fruition. Yeah. I'm on one hand, I'm happy that you all are trying to do something to save yourself. On the other hand, I'm not exactly sure this is the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I think your SOS is a little bit late, folks.
Yeah, this.
Tiny bit.
I'm not all that pleased. And good morning to you there, Horace.
Good morning, Horace.
Yeah. and hello there to you, Jay and Joe. And Danielle, are you enjoying your good game?
Yay!
Because I know she was playing yesterday. Ooh, man. Tell Ginger about the fishing, Danielle.
No.
You know, that's funny. That's a noise I do to Baby Natrix to annoy her. So. Did you see what I posted about her yesterday on Pinterest? My baby is the geekiest of geeks at nine. I no longer tell her she's only a beginning geek. Yesterday we were looking at on Pinterest. Remember when we did Pixinista and we were looking at the crocheted and knitted Ewoks and things? Well, I said that one of them was a Wookiee. I was pointing to the Ewok, and she says, "No, Mommy Matrix, that is a Wookiee. This is an Ewok."
Oh.
She has never seen Star Wars, y'all.
See, she knows, though. She knows. Every geek has that embedded in their DNA. They know.
That is geek DNA. It just filtered right on down. I was so proud. I was like, wow. How'd you know that? Everybody knows that, is what she says to me. I was like, I'm backing away. I had to send it out on Twitter. She solidified her geekdom.
That's awesome. She's so cute.
Sending her to your house in a box. There you go.
You go ahead. I'll spoil her and send her right back.
No, I didn't say anything about sending her back. I said I was no
return to sender.
No return shipping is what it's going to say on the box.
All right, so Zynga. Well, Zynga, since we're talking about you already, your SOS signal, like I said, a little bit late. Maybe you should have tried the bat signal. Anyways, they lost two more executives.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Two more employees from social gaming giant Zynga's management team have reportedly left the company for greener pastures. They joined many other high-profile executives that used to work at Zynga who ultimately jumped ship for better offers to start or to start new companies. Roy Segal, vice president of Zyniga's casual and arcade games division, has resigned from the company. He says, "I'm out." He is best known for creating the social game Cafe World.
Oh man, is Cafe World still around?
He said he has resigned to take some time away from work. Possibly, yeah. The other executive leading the company today is Steve Schreck. Steve Schreck. he had to go back to his little slump. Anyways, a general manager of the company's The Casual Division, Schreck was responsible for 100 employees at the division and was directly in charge of the hit game Hidden Chronicles. He was also the lead designer on Zynga's version of the popular Slingo game. Schreck is headed to a new mobile startup created by former Zynga CCO Mike Verdu. Everybody is out. They're like, we're out. Let me go.
Oh, are we done?
We're done.
I was waiting.
Sorry, Zynga.
All right. Well, there's a new company on the horizon that is asking a question of you. Ever dance the devil in the pale moonlight? Ginger, what have you?
I've danced in pale moonlight, but not, well, maybe it was the devil. I don't know.
Well, a new company called Prey is...
So maybe.
A new company called Prey, and if you've seen Batman, you understand why I did that, since I always asked it of all my Prey. But anyway, a company called Prey has created a new device that will let you track down your lost and stolen devices. I don't know if this is a good idea. Okay, so... Basically, the technology is out there that'll help you track down your stuff. So when your device gets lost or stolen, you of course are crying and you're like, oh my god. Prey is open source software.
Danielle, no.
Yes, Danielle, tell her about the phishing. It gives you 24/7 tracking and recovering ability so that you can recover your lost or stolen device. It's one of the featured items up on our friend's website of Venturebeat. It will keep track of your laptop, your phone, and your tablet whenever stolen or missing, all in one place. How it works is you install a tiny little client on your PC, Mac, or phone, and it silently waits for a remote signal to wake up. The signal is sent from either the internet or through an SMS. It allows you to gather information regarding the device's location, hardware, and network status, and optionally you can trigger some actions on it. It sends very accurate, they're saying, extremely more accurate than some other software out there, location updates. It'll snap pictures of the thief with the device's built-in camera. Hot, right? It'll track files that have been accessed or changed on your system. So if any hackers are rooting around in your phone, that's what it does. It will grab screenshots of whatever a thief is doing on your computer. And it tracks the programs the thief has running. So if they log in and they're like, ooh, I got me a new laptop. I done stole it. I'm fixing to log into my Steam account. Bam! We got you. Beep! Okay, so it's about $49. Annually, and that covers up to 10 devices. And get this, you people out there, pay close attention. It pretty much covers every operating system in existence: Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, and your Droid. That's right.
Droid.
So go over and check them out. I believe it's Prey, PRE.com, not PRAY. Some of you cannot spell. That's not right. Very nice software. We think you'd get that, Ginger?
Probably, I don't know.
You know,
it tracks though. What if it like could be reverse tracked? Oh.
Well, see, here's what I'm worried about, because somebody like me, the one thing I cannot stand is a thief. And I know I
if you could track them down, you'd hurt them.
Girl, I used to pray I would come outside and catch somebody in my car trying to steal it. I would just hope for it. That's when I was, you know, in my extremely violent stages. I know y'all think I'm violent now. No. There were some early days when I was looking for somebody to just punch for no reason at all. But anyway, I would pray for that. This right here, for somebody that was like me, to be able to find who took my phone.
This is true. I'd be at somebody's door. Bang, bang, bang. I know you have my phone, bitches. Let me in.
You already made a mistake. You said bang, bang, bang. I know you have it. I'm kicking the door in and finding them with the phone in their hand and with a bat. Bam! Put it down. This is not your phone. Really steal my iPhone? I just got this. Oh, see, I don't know if this is a good idea. I mean, it's a great idea on one hand. It's lovely, but I hope that they're going to involve the authorities somehow. Maybe it should send out, you know, a 911 or something and say the police, because I shudder to think what will happen. Again, somebody like me who despises thieves, or at least thieves in this arena. If you're going to be a thief, do something noble at least. Give the
Robin
money
Hood.
To poor. Yeah, be Robin Hood if you're going to be a thief. I mean, it's bad enough if you're thieving, but try to do something good. But just to steal, like that one guy that stole the kid's Xbox and then he got home and turned it on and the Xbox bricked it and the police showed up. Yeah, that's hot. That's a hot story. Those right there, those type of thieves, no. You're not stealing to survive. You just stole to steal something. So therefore, you should be castrated. But anyway.
Yeah. All right, GLaDOS, let go of my cord for one.
She's touching me.
She is touching you in your no-no places.
Stop. Don't touch me there. These are my no-no squares, Gretel.
Oh, my God. All right. So,
you want to... that I make you in snow lab every time.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah, I totally like see you doing the whole little dance and like. Yeah. All right. So, House unanimously opposes UN's internet regulations.
Yay!
Yay! The United States Congress may be a mess and the most unruly, uncompromising bunch in the land, but they are apparently think that the UN should not be setting policy on the Internet. To that end, members of the House of Representatives, Democrats and Republicans, voted unanimously 397-0
Ooh.
Against the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU, and the United Nations effort to push increased government over the Internet. The vote is a declaration against the goings-on at the World Conference on International Telecommunications in Dubai. The goal of the conference is to update telecommunications regulations that have been updated since 1988. Those International Telecommunications Regulations, ITRs, do not address the Internet and other growing technologies. The fear among advocacy groups is that the countries that want to control their population's access to free Internet, such as North Korea, China, Russia, Iran, and Syria, will use the conference as a way to push their own agendas. Those agendas include eliminating anonymity from the Internet, limits on free speech, and the surveillance of Internet traffic they deem to be bad. This also includes everything from prohibitions on copyright violations and pornography to prohibitions on defamation and political speech. Naturally, the UN can't unilaterally impose rules on the Internet without a serious treaty, and that treaty would have to be ratified by all the parties involved.
That's right.
That's a pretty tall order. Here in the United States, all treaties have to go before the Senate for review as required by our Constitution. Still, it's good that the House of Representatives can agree on this issue, even if it's simply a strong public declaration. All right, and I pulled this from GamePolitics.com. Way to go, House of Representatives. You know, y'all don't get a lot of things right, but this one you did get right.
Yay, House of Representatives, yay. Yay,
yay,
yay.
Boom for you.
No, you went too far. Some of them don't like boobs, Ginger, you know.
Well then.
That is the consensus.
Part of your choice for you.
Yeah. That's just wrong.
I know, right?
Just wrong. All right. How many of you are playing a game called Tartuga? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
Tartuga. Well, they've revealed...
I thought she said Tartuga.
No, not Tartuga. Cartuga. He made me want to play pirates then. Daggone it, Sydney, or daggone it. Today, InnoGames introduces the Destroyer, the first of three pirate classes. Ironically, it is about pirates. In the upcoming action MMOG Tartuga, the agile ship is an offensive, all-purpose weight weapon for those out to be the aggressor on the high seas. The Destroyer causes massive damage, and added to that, possesses speed and maneuverability, which makes this class downright mean. I'm liking it already. Durability isn't a strong suit for this ship, however, and its vulnerable attacks. There's also a video that they gave us, which I will have to locate somewhere in this stuff they sent us. I was about to call it something bad. Tartuga players have the ability to customize each class even further by unlocking a skill tree branching out in three directions. In this case, the Destroyer. These are called Raider, Ravager, and Brawler. These skills determine the qualities of each ship, While the Ravager excels in long-range battles, the Raider's fighting style can be described as a hit-and-run, as this skill's mobility is unmatched. Ooh, hot. In contrast, the Brawler, with its ultra-thick armor and decisive attacks, is the scrappiest of the three. Kartuga, again, is an action MMO with RPG elements. The 3D pirate game invites players to choose from three ship classes and developing their unique playstyle by leveling up and combining various skills and equipment. Core of the game is was developed by Ticking Bomb Games in Yeah, it is also cooperative PvP, Ginger. Closed beta is planned for early 2013. You can already go over and pre-register. Kartuga.com. Ooh, they already currently have Inno Games is the one that's publishing.
Let go of my Corey.
I wasn't talking well anyway. She wanted to stop it. They have more than 100 million registered players already, and they are based out of Hamburg, Germany. They made games such as Tribal Wars, Forge of Empires, and Grepolis. I am interested because, you know, I love me some pirates. I'm going to be calling myself Mrs. Sparrow.
Ooh. You know what? You're going to have a lot of girls mad.
They can be mad. They can be mad at me all they want. Mrs. Sparrow. You were all right. The day you will always remember.
You were not Mrs. Jack Sparrow.
Yes. You were almost Mrs. Jack Sparrow. I'm it!
All right. I'm going to pull two stories from GamePolitics.com because one is short, but they're both on the same subject. Layoffs.
Oh,
why, people? Maybe we talked about this one yesterday. I don't remember. NCSoft PR director tells PC Gamer that company has laid off an undisclosed number of employees at its Seattle office. That office is responsible for Guild Wars 2. Guild Wars 2 publisher NCSoft has laid off several staff as part of a studio realignment.
Oh, I did that one yesterday, Jinmei.
You did that one yesterday? All right, so there's that one. Sorry, NCSoft people. Did we talk about the End of Nations developer?
No, we did not.
All right. So, layoffs hit End of Nations developer, and the game is put on hold. A tweet from a game designer at End of Nations maker Petroglyph suggests that the company is currently in the middle of laying off a number of its employees. What it says exactly? Well, it appears that this winter break will be extended indefinitely. That came from game designer Adam Stevens. Layoffs at Petroglyph, looking like I'll be leaving Las Vegas. There is an update to the story, and the nation's publisher Trion Worlds passed along an official statement on the current state of the game posted earlier today on Facebook. Since our last state of the game announcement, we have been hard at work on getting End of Nations to where we want it to be. We are committed to making End of Nations meet our standard of AAA, and we will continue to develop the game until it meets our standards. Rest assured that we are not giving up on End of Nations and that we are set on giving fans what they want. To give you a little sneak peek into what we are working on, some of the changes you'll notice will include improvements that ease the learning curve for new players, a revamped UI system, advancements in player strategy, and most importantly, a more polished overall game. As End of Nations was reaching the pre-launch phase in its life cycle, we officially brought the game development in-house to Trion's San Diego studio and will complete the development internally. Our team has been hard at work implementing many changes based on your feedback from the beta events. Keep checking back for more updates as we are looking forward to showing off some of the cool new things the team has been working on. All right, so either way, sorry that you got laid off, Mr. Stevens. Hopefully you get a new job quickly. And, man, people, stop laying off right here at Christmas. That's not cool.
No, it not be cool.
Not cool at all.
Coming up next. Now. I actually got two stories.
What you got? You ain't got nothing.
Nationwide, who's on your side? Yes, Nationwide was hacked.
Oh, so say, what do they have to do with this? But all right.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out how does it. Yeah. Okay, so the company released an apology today revealing that in October, there was a breach that compromised Social Security information. Oof, the hack on Nationwide came through servers it shared with Allied Insurance, and may have affected up to 1.1 million of you, according to the Washington Post. Hackers tapped into quite a payload of personally identifiable information, including name, birthday, Social Security number, and driver's license number. Ugh. Nationwide said hackers may also have gotten away with marital status, gender, and work information, such as your title at your company and your company's address. The company said it stores this type of information in order to give people quotes on its insurance. You don't need to store it. You just need to get it to get the quote, and then it should be deleted. Really? And the company's statement that they released says, at this time, we have no evidence that any medical information or credit card account information was stolen in the attack. But here's something they don't want to mention. You can use that information to create new credit information. Oh God. Nationwide says it found the attack the same day it happened, which was October 3rd, and immediately reported it to the authorities. Why don't you have a tech team that was on this is my question. Okay, so anyway, it's currently sending out notices to everyone whose information was accessed. So if you're with Nationwide, you want to keep an eye out for that. And through a partnership with Equifax, is giving those people free identity theft protection. Talking about letting the worst stuff after the bargain. And credit monitoring. Anyone who uses Nationwide or recently sent in their information for a quote, just also check your bank statements. Even if you don't believe your information was part of the hack, you should do so. As for who was behind the attack, Nationwide and law enforcement officials say they don't yet know. However, the insurance company suspects that they came from outside the United States. Law enforcement officials are still looking through the forensic evidence to see if they can track the event back to one specific person or country.
North Korea!
Either way, somebody got your stuff. I'm just saying. I gotta do one more. I have to do it. According to independent analyst firm Canalys, 25 developers pocketed 50% of U.S. app revenue during the first 20 days of this month. Of last month, November. The total revenue shared between those 25 developers, y'all might want to put your hands above the desk.
Do they need lap warmers?
Yes, they do. It amounted to $60 million in paid downloads and in-app purchases. The numbers are based on Canalys' daily app interrogator surveys of the Apple App Store and Google Play. Of the lucky 25, only one, Pandora Radio, was not from a game developer. The list includes most of the larger mobile game developers, including, yes, Zynga. You would think they wouldn't be in trouble after that. EA, Disney, kabam! I love it. Roblox, yes, those evil angry birds, Ginger. Glue and Gameloft. Part of the story here is that successful game developers almost invariably have multiple titles generating revenue. That's from Canalys vice president and principal analyst Chris Jones. He said Zynga, for example, had 15 titles in the list of top 300 grossing iPhone apps on average in Apple's App Store every day, and 9 titles in the equivalent list of Google Play Store. Even with its singular force on its Angry Birds franchise, Rovio has multiple game variants in the list. With the holiday season now underway, they said they're expecting to see many of the top game developers employing discounts and special offers, taking advantage of their ability to cross-promote within their app portfolios, which I've noticed they do a lot of. They usually put something at the bottom. Say, have you tried this game that we make? Which is absolutely brilliant, advertising-wise. Because I always click and go, no, I haven't. I think I want to see what that is. Of course, during the first 20 days of November, games averaged about 145 of the top 300 paid apps on the App Store and 116 of the top 300 on Google Play. And when it came to free apps, the number dropped down to an average of 94 apps out of the top 300 on the App Store and 110 out of the top 300 on Google Play. Discoverability is a particular issue in the Apple App Store and in Google Play, given the huge inventories that they boast, said the Canalys senior analyst Tim Shepard. He says with top game developers and never scroll, dead comment, Corey, top game developers content so prevalent in the stores, they said it can be hard for other good quality apps to get the attention they deserve. And that's very true, which is why we're making such a big deal about good folks. It's a good game, and it should be somewhere at the top of the App Store. Just saying. Depending on the type of app, they should consider how best they can exploit social media and social recommendations, tactical sales promotions and discounts, and also branding tie-ups and targeted in-app advertising. Wow. Congratulations to those developers. Those are not the best games on the market. I don't mind my little Angry Birds. I indulged in a little Angry Birds yesterday. I needed to hit some things, and they did the job. Yeah, they're good. Angry Birds is really good when you're mad at somebody. You just put a name to one of those pigs. That's what they're missing. They need some customization. I need to be able to put a name over my pig that I'm trying to hit. Wouldn't y'all like that?
That would be cool. I like that idea, yes.
And then you just fling the birds at it and just blow them up.
Yes!
All right, Ginger, what you got?
I've got a new DLC for Game of Dwarves. Yay!
Game of Dwarves. I want to play that.
All right. Paradox, one of our favorite developers, just awesome people over there. New Star Dwarves content allows bearded burrowers to reach deep space.
You handled that very well. Bearded burrowers. She slowed down, but she got it right.
I knew otherwise. I was going to just totally screw that up. All right, so Paradox Interactive and Zeal Game Studio are taking subterranean mining to soaring new heights with new downloadable content, DLC, for A Game of Dwarves. The new content pack, entitled Star Dwarves, enables the gamers' titular miners to spruce up their minds with all the trappings of deep space, adding a wealth of new sci-fi furnishings and tools to their lairs. Of course, a terrifying space monster or two have also come along for the ride. That's a small price to pay for having your very own cryosleep bed to spruce up the old mineshaft. Star Dwarves adds new props, new enemies, and new dwarves to A Game of Dwarves, from sci-fi-inspired generators, holographic statues, and a spiffy captain's chair, to untold horrors like the Beard Prober, a monster who can... Monster who studies beards in the worst way imagined.
Oh, my God.
Right. Dwarves can combat these invaders with new military classes, including the rifle-toting Red Shirt and the knight, a melee fighter, who relies on training he acquired a long time ago in some place far, far away. All right, so Game of Dwarves, Star Dwarves, is available today for resounding $4.99.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
People know, it's not bad. All right, so you can get that over at gameofdwarves.com/buy.
And what if I don't want to buy it?
But then you don't buy it, and you use your $5 to buy foot long.
$2 now, they're on sale for Christmas.
Are they?
$2 foot, no, I'm sorry, $2 6 inch long.
See, that still comes out to like $5 foot long.
It does if you buy two.
See, so they just did some fancy advertising right there.
They did indeed. Okay, our good friends over at Rockstar Games sent us some good information. For those of you who have iOS devices, they are releasing Grand Theft Auto Vice City 10th Anniversary Edition. Yay! GTA Vice City, they're saying, is everything we loved about the 80s packed into a sprawling open-world action game. That's from Sam Houser, who's the founder of Rockstar Games. Does he sound like an action star? Sam Houser. My name is Sam Houser. Since we're thrilled to let mobile and tablet players experience everything Vice City has to offer, this particular edition is an enhanced version of the award-winning original game, optimized for your mobile and tablet, with several new mobile-specific features, including an intuitive, fully scalable and customizable user interface, new camera controls, upgraded textures, greater resolutions, and increased draw distance. You can pick this up for a mere $4.99 and can be purchased for your iOS via the App Store on iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, or at the App Store. We're not happy that it's not on Android. Just so you're aware, the original GTA Vice City was originally released in October 2002 for the PlayStation 2, just 1 year after its predecessor, GTA 3, which was horrible, by the way. Sorry, Rockstar, it was not good. And they're saying that particular one changed the gaming landscape forever with its combination open-world freedom, humor, and action in living in a living, breathing city. GTA Vice City expanded upon the open-world gameplay of GTA 3, combined with some nostalgia for the 1980s, to create one of the true high points in the marriage of video games and mainstream pop culture, loved by hardcore gamers and casual players alike. I'm still trying to get Ginger in there. I'm telling her she'll love it. If you love APB, you are going to love GTA. I mean, absolutely adore it. Because most of the elements are borrowed.
My wrists have been hurting the past week.
Well, that's on PC. That's why you need GTA, so you can switch it up. You still get the same effect, but you know, with a different controller. I need this on a Droid tablet. Come on, Rockstar. You guys are absolutely awesome. You didn't play any of the GTAs?
Mm-mm, I've never played any of the GTAs.
The GTA 3, the open world thing was nice, but the camera angles was making us just a sick to her stomach. I was like, oh, this has to stop.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it was horrible. And I pretty much have played all the GTAs from day one when it was top down. And they were the first ones to create that damage engine, you know, where you can see damage on a car. When it gets hit, they're the ones who pioneered that. It was awesome. And when my car would get, when it would, you know, get too damaged, you hear it. And it's like, and now I know what that noise means, of course. It's still in the GTA, and you're like, get out, the car's about to blow up. Jay, that sound familiar? Jump out, the car's going to blow up, jump out. We just jump out.
Get out.
Yeah, the last time we played, Jay jumped out, and then I think Z ran over him in the car behind us. Isn't that what happened, Jay? Heard your bones go crunch, I think.
Poor Jay. I'm so sorry, Jay.
I told him to stop the car. I heard the noise.
I can't kill him until I get the life insurance.
Good morning there, Joe.
Good morning, Joe. All right, so Beeline Interactive is launching Smurf Life for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch.
By the way, you never played a GTA game. Mm. He don't know you no more, he says.
Oh, Jay.
We'll get her in there eventually. We'll get her.
Wait a minute.
Before you finish that story, I'm going to issue a challenge. Horace, if you get yourself a Left 4 Dead, Ginger might be coaxing to get in GTA. I'm just saying.
Possibly, maybe. Yeah, all right, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. See, that's how it's going to roll. You have to have GTA 2, by the way, Horace. You have to have a GTA 2. That's the deal.
Mm-hmm. You have to. All right, so announcing their new Smurf Life app for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. Now available on the App Store, the freemium game returns players to Smurfs Village in an all-new adventure. The game begins with Smurfs Village in crisis. Gargamel has stirred up trouble with a magical storm spell that is creating chaos all over the village. The Smurfs need help, and Papa Smurf has chosen one special member of the village to reunite his family and break the spell. Players will explore the Smurfs Village firsthand as they work to rescue Smurfs that have been stranded by the storm. Players can choose a male or female character.
Oh!
Wait a minute, there was only like two females.
Two? Honey, there was one for the longest time, so you had Smurfette, and then Sassette came later, but that is very disturbing that there's only one female Smurf.
All right.
How you get boy Smurfs.
Exactly.
I just want to know.
All right, so players can choose a male or female character, customizing their Smurfs by choosing a name and adding fun costumes and accessories. As they explore, they'll need to overcome obstacles by learning trades, gathering materials, and building tools. Jockey, Brainy, Handy, and other favorite Smurf friends will throw parties in their honor as players successfully bring lost Smurfs back home. As they complete challenges, players will help to break Gargamel's dark spell and bring Lunchtime back to the village once and for all. Yeah. The game puts players in control of the action, allowing them to explore the Smurf Village from an exciting new perspective. Guiding their customized Smurf characters through the village, players will face new challenges on a journey through the Smurf's village unlike any they've seen before. Wasn't the village like five buildings and that was it?
No, each of the boy Smurfs had their own house. And wait a minute, each of the ones that had names had their own house. Okay, so the rest of them, I don't know where they were living. Because it's supposed to be 100 Smurfs. We didn't know all 100 Smurfs' names, so we just knew, like, you know, five or six. I'm just disturbed by two things. One, why was there only one girl Smurf and 100 Smurfs? Where did they come from? And Papa Smurf, he's the oldest one. Where was Mama Smurf? And then two, I am disturbed because Smurfette had kept thinking all those dresses was different. What kind of fashionista are you? White dress and white.
I know.
Even in the snow, she had on white. Girl, I'm going to need to get some new shoes.
I know, right?
And she'd be like, should I Smurf this Smurf or this Smurf? You know what? The same damn dress, Smurfette.
Who was the one who liked to dress up? There was the guy who liked to
That was the, I don't remember, but he was the gay one, wasn't he?
Yeah!
Yeah, so, you know what's funny? People are all like, I don't want my kids watching or doing gay things. There have been gay characters in our TV shows and, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Rudolph?
Yeah,
the guy that Rudolph was running off with, obviously he was gay. And then we had a gay Smurf. I don't know why you all are so up at arms. These people have been around for the longest time.
I know.
So they have been...
new people.
Yeah, y'all need to calm down. All right, so, Sega. Yeah, well, Which one? Bert. Yeah, Bert.
You know, it was always assumed that they both were, but...
I didn't think so much Ernie, but I thought Bert. There's something about him and his anal retentiveness. Not that gay people are anal retentive. I'm just saying, you know, gay people have differences. You know, they're human. They're like the rest of us, in case y'all didn't know. They don't grow ears and horns at night.
They don't.
But, you know, it's something about, every gay man I've ever known is always so neat and orderly.
Yeah, I know, right?
I need to start hanging out with them so I can build this trait because I'm so messy. my friend Brian is going to love you, Brian. I'm coming.
I have two, because I don't have one. I have two.
No, Left 4 Dead 2, of course. Okay, so Sega.
Sega!
They have come up with something new called Creative Assembly, and it's trademarked. Don't try to steal it. And they've gotten together with the creator of Total War, and they have entered into a multi-licensing deal with Games Workshop to create video games based in the Warhammer universe. Supposed to be a new high-caliber development team that has been set up at Creative Assembly's UK studio to work alongside the existing Total War Alien IP. And mobile teams as well on the first Warhammer title in the deal. They're scheduled to launch from beyond 2013, which means they just really don't know. with this year being their 25th anniversary, Tim Heaton, who's the studio director at Creative Assembly, says that it seems fitting for them to embark on such a dream project with such a well-established partner. The incredibly rich and detailed Warhammer world is something we grew up with and has left an indelible imprint on us both as designers and gamers. It says we'll be doing the Warhammer universe justice in a way that has never been attempted before. We're bringing those 25 years of experience and expertise in extremely high-scoring games to bear, delivering a Warhammer experience that video gamers will absolutely love. They said we have enormous respect for Sega and Creative Assembly, and have felt a long time that the combination of enormously rich setting of the Warhammer world and their stunning developed talent is a huge potential. Yay! The first Warhammer game joins the eagerly awaited Total War Rome 2 with the title Alien IP as one of the five projects currently in production at Creative Assembly, now one of the largest developers in Europe, and probably they're going to branch out over here. If you want to check them out, or if you're looking for a job, they say, go over to creative-assembly.com. So they're hiring over there in the UK, which I'm not allowed to go, so somebody take that job.
Yes, we take the job. Take the job.
Horace says it was Vanity Smurf. Yes, that's his
Vanity
name.
Vanity Smurf. There we go. Thank you, Horace.
Vanity Smurf was always up in somebody's mirror. Oh, my God. You handsome devil, you. Mm-hmm. All right. What you got, Ginger? What you got? We got 2 minutes. We got to go.
We got to do.
All right. We will be back here later on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, you want to not miss our show tonight because we will have the infamous Krista Charter. You say, who is that? Why, Trixie360 from Xbox will be dropping by to talk about her new book.
What?
And if you have sensitive ears, you might want to watch it because we're raw.
For children.
Yeah, we're raw, and she's way worse. I picked up my raw skills from her, just to let y'all know.
Hotness.
Got my potty mouth from her. So we'll see you guys. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you want to call in, feel free. You say something wrong, we're going to unleash her on you. You don't want that.
Yes, we are.
If you have... if you don't know, you're going to know after this show. Anyway. See y'all later. Damn it,
I mean the more the fact that it's a sound with the scene, you're gonna show. Dead, I'm all the big ass, the sound with the one police.